Okay, Lean, we are a pair of UCC graduates having a chat. You recently had a qualification. What was your qualification in?
So I did my master's in women's studies.
Amazing. And did you do well? You don't have to say the result, but did you do well?
I got a first class honors.
Whoa! I'd like to take this opportunity to let the people of Cork know that I also have a first class honor, actually two of them from UCC. But look, I don't like to go on about it. I did my degrees up to 45 years ago, I think, at this point. But so, Lean, it's a pleasure to meet you. I know of you from Instagram. And would it be fair to say that you were a bride yesterday in the Patrick's Day Parade? I'm gutted I missed it. How'd you get on?
I was the famous bride, yeah.
I've seen the pictures.
It was good. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I loved that sense of community. I think it felt like a genuine Palestinian wedding. But I was waiting on the money and the treats that come with the wedding. I didn't get any of that, but it was great. It was such a great event.
Who did you get married to?
I got married to Ahmed from Tunisia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the photos looked amazing. I was actually in Kildare myself yesterday with my friend Sully doing some music. I was gutted to miss it, but I was very emotional looking at the images from all around Ireland yesterday. It seemed like Palestine was front and centre.
Yeah, the Pakistani group actually had the Palestinian flags and they had one handmade as well. It was a big
amazing.
One. Yeah.
Just before we started there, you were saying something to me I thought was interesting, which is, you know, when you go to the marches every week, what does that do for you as a Palestinian in Ireland?
It just literally gives me a breath of fresh air. I feel like I wait for Saturday to come so I just can go and just feel that to get recharged, really, and feel that sense of community, to be surrounded by people who are like-minded and who understand what it means to, you know, undergo an colonial oppression and have the supporters around you. And it's just really like sometimes I have work on Saturday, right? And I feel I would feel so bad to just miss it, the protests. And I think I think people think that I just want to go to the protest so I can just be angry and protest, but it's not just about that. I think I just want to be with my people and support the people from Gaza there. And I think it also kind of brightens their day when they see this amount of people just protesting, and just gives me so much light. And yeah, it's just a great feeling to just be there and surrounded by people. I think I'm grateful to be here in that sense. Yeah.
It's funny, I've heard it from a few people, not just Palestinians, but from allies as well, saying that they feel like they get recharged at the weekend. So I just think it's important to note that, because sometimes we're at marches and it's lashing raining and you're getting soaked and you look around going, is any of this making any difference?
Yeah.
But if it's recharging the actual people who are affected by what's going on, I think that's enough of a utility in itself. So tell us, how did you come to be in Ireland studying in the first place? What was your trajectory? Because I think with Palestinians, there's an awful lot of a kind of a black hole of information with people in the West kind of going, how did you get here? What are Palestinians about? Do you just hate Jews and endorse terrorism?
Very interesting question. So I'm a Palestinian refugee from Lebanon, and Palestinian refugees in Lebanon have a kind of a different situation, because the people who were ethnically cleansed in 1948 had to flee, and we are considered stateless, so we're not considered Lebanese or Palestinians. We don't have a passport. We have a refugee document, which is based on the Geneva Convention. It's a Geneva Convention document, and we're barred from working in 39 professions, including driving, constructions, and so on. So we can only do like casual labor or our labor, cheap labor, which I would like to call labor made cheap. And basically, some people don't even work, but they don't have a work permit. So it's like kind of illegal. We don't have a right for property ownership or anything at all. So we're barred from literally just living as human beings. We're not treated as equal citizens. And people, Palestinians who are from a Sunni background, had to move had to flee from Palestine to Lebanon, and were not integrated within the Lebanese society after 1948. And while the Christian Palestinians were easily, many of them were easily integrated, just because there's this fear of the change in demographics. So they were afraid there would be more a Muslim population in Lebanon, Muslim population in Lebanon that would affect their power sharing kind of governance in Lebanon. And they use the right of return as an excuse for Palestinians. Like, listen, we're not going to give you the citizenship.
Right, because
you need to return to your homeland.
We support you. Like, that's why we're not giving you anything.
And given this context, I decided to move because I want to work. I want to work for my family. I want to provide for my family. And I just want to do something different that my family couldn't do because they went through all the camp wars in Lebanon themselves. And I lost my brother because we don't have a health insurance, and my mother had to fake her identity as another woman to actually give birth. And then my brother was born with a disability and she couldn't report it. And if she reported it, she would be at fault because of the situation. But anyway, my parents went through a lot, and I really wanted to just carry on with my life. They actually encouraged me to do it. So I'm here, and I had two choices, actually, Canada or Ireland, and education was the easiest path to actually be here. And I was thinking, well, I'm so tired of the Palestinian, anti-Palestinian sentiment, to be honest, like living in Lebanon, having to fit in, having to fake my accent and make it more Lebanese, and lying about where I lived and being just embarrassed by who I am, and whether it's in school or in college, and I tried to be this cool person that I wasn't really, and then I thought Ireland would be very supportive in terms of just me moving here, and politically speaking.
Did you say that you tried to be more Lebanese? Could you tell me more about that? That's fascinating to me. Also heartbreaking, but it's fascinating.
Yeah, so I remember when I was in school, I was first in the Lebanese school, and I was reading this math problem and in class and out loud, and I said a word sounded Palestinian, which is tomatoes. But everybody started laughing, and I couldn't understand why. And I was shocked. I was like, why is everybody laughing? And I had to process it afterwards. I was 10 years old. And after that incident, I started speaking purely Lebanese, and I tried to fit in. My behavior is my culture, everything about me was just a lie. It wasn't really me. A lot of my closer, even the very closest friends, wouldn't know some parts of my real identity and who I am. And even the Palestinians, some like hardcore Palestinians in the Palestinian refugee camp, when I started going to college, because I had the privilege to be in college in an American university in Beirut, I got a scholarship. And that's what also kept faking my identity even more. But what basically happened is just like even the Palestinians who are from the refugee community. I had this one incident once in 2017. We were protesting one Palestinian 6-year-old, and she was just looking at me, and she was like, I was chanting, but it wasn't really loud enough. And then she looked at me and she was like, why aren't you? She was like, speak up. Are you even Palestinian? I was just like shocked again. I was just like, it was it was funny. I struggled. I always struggled with that sense of identity of not being Palestinian enough or Lebanese enough.
Right.
I moved here. And when I moved here, I realized I no longer have to just put on that mask, and everybody's just supportive of who I am. And even when I try to speak in my refugee, as I call it, accent with other Palestinians, they understand, because they understand this is systemic injustice. Yeah. and having to be displaced and not being around your own community and not being able to return to your homeland. And I have no right of returning to my homeland. I forgot the question.
No, you're answering it beautifully anyway, whether you forgot it or not. When did you come to Ireland?
I moved here in October 2021. So
okay.
That's 2 years and a half almost, I think. And it was easier for me to get access, and just, education was an easy path for me to move
here.
Sure.
And did you, so it's such a beautiful thing to say, that you felt a sense of support from Irish people from the get-go, a sense of understanding.
Yeah, I actually had a video call with my course director beforehand, and she encouraged me to move here, so yeah.
Wow. Okay, so like you've come to Ireland on a scholarship, you've explained the context of the situation you've come out of as statelessness, effectively. And against all odds, you've come to Ireland. Yeah, you're doing your studies and you're excelling in them. So take us to your graduation day if you don't mind. So obviously you're waking up that morning. How are you feeling? Like,
I'm not sure. I was feeling ambivalent because for me to have to celebrate during this time, I always feel a sense of guilt.
Of course, yes.
And I never had a graduation before because it was COVID in my undergrad and then I failed my high school official exam. So I didn't really have a graduation. So this was my actual first proper graduation. In a sense, I was excited, but at the same time, I wasn't just really... in the mood of just having to celebrate. And I even didn't buy a dress for my graduation. You know, I just went there. I wanted to raise the flag. And this is essentially was my the entire point of me going to graduation. And then I went in. My friend was with me. And she had my flag, my Palestinian flag in her backpack. So I was just asking her. I was just still at the entrance. I was asking her, can you please hand me my flag? And I was just holding it in my hand. And the security approached me. It was like, you're not allowed to get in the flag, get the flag in. You're not allowed to raise the flag. And I was just like, I need to represent my identity. That's all I'm trying to do. And he was
I ask how they were with you? So were they security forceful with you?
This security guy in specific wasn't, I wouldn't say forceful. He was feeling bad, but what he told me basically.
Okay, he had a job to do.
He was telling me, like, because at some point when we were arguing, he was telling me that all of this is controversial politics and has to be neutral. Flags are not allowed in. And at some point he told me, God, lost my train of thoughts.
So he was saying, you know, you're making a political statement if you carry your flag in. No, you weren't carrying a flag of Hamas in the door. Like, you weren't screaming about the end of Israel.
No.
You just wanted to carry your national colors.
Right. And he was telling me, I was asking him basically at some point, what's the worst case scenario? Let's say I go in, I have the flag, I sneak it in. What's the worst case that could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen? And he was basically, well, we'll have to try to make calls. You will disrupt the ceremony. And basically, I would face big repercussions, not you. Like, it will all be on me because I let you in with the flag.
Oh, wow. This is guilt tripping you. So,
yeah, something like that. Wow. And after having this big conversation, there was also like a person, like, I'm not sure who it was, but it was like ceremony commissioner or something. Okay. And he was also like talking about how we have to be neutral and you can't carry in the flag. And
can you just paint the picture here? So are you on your own? Are you outside the room? Are these, is it men talking to you?
Yeah, it's two men.
Two men talking to you. Are you on your own?
I'm with my friend. She's standing next to me. But
okay.
When I was talking to them, I was just a bit farther away. But it was at the entrance of the student center.
This must have been overwhelming, was it? Like, it was shocking.
It was because everybody was going upstairs. Like, everyone's graduating. And I was just basically moved aside.
Wow.
And being, you know, as if I'm doing a crime, just carrying a flag in my hand. And I literally just wanted to raise, and I had to explain to them, I'm raising it for my people. There's an educational genocide out there happening.
Exactly.
And I'm representing who I am and the background that I come from. I think it's just really hard because I, as a refugee in Lebanon, it's always like we're always treated on a security basis rather than a humanitarian basis. And for me to see that happen with a security guard, even though he expresses sympathy, I think he's still representative of the state apparatus. He's still a representative of the authority, and he is still reinforcing that genocide and the institution itself, just you know, not coming out and trying to preserve this politics of neutrality. And for me to see that, it's literally politicized. It's just eliminating, like, destruction, complete destruction of political identity of Palestinians. But also, it reinforces migration as a tool of war. Like, for me, as a refugee who doesn't have a right to return to her land, for me to raise a flag is not just a big thing. It's just literally part of who I am because we are displaced worldwide, and we're dispersed everywhere. Like, all my cousins are like different parts of the world, and we cannot really meet because of the passport and visa situation. So yeah, I had to explain all of that, and still I was, I wasn't allowed to get it in, and I went outside. I needed a breath of fresh air. I was emotional. I was crying. Then pulled myself together. I went back in, and then the security. And the person that was with him, I really don't remember who he was, but they were both like, we're just going to make sure that you're not, talking to people in the hall or with your guests so they wouldn't, you know, discreetly give you the flag in the ceremony.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're treated like a kind of a difficult child, like, in case you kind of infiltrate other people in a display of Palestinian identity. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
No, I just, yeah, so I just, I wasn't allowed to wear my flag. I went upstairs. There were two women at the door. And one of the women approached me and she took me aside. People were lined up at this point trying to get in. I was taken aside and then she looked into my gown pockets, making sure I don't have no flag. And she was basically really confused about the kufiya. Like, she wasn't sure if it's allowed. She was like, I'm not sure actually if the kufiya is allowed. And she went to ask somebody and she was like, wait. And the president then is here and he is talking to me and he keeps going on about the flag. And he tells me, well, the flag is not allowed in. I even spoke with the Palestinian ambassador. Like, I recently had a meeting with her and she also told me, like, we need to preserve that sense of neutrality and not have a political stance on campus and so on. Yeah, and he was like, we need to respect Jewish people.
Oh, my sweet Lord. There's just so much there now to what you've said, right? So yeah. First of all, so the president approaches you. What's his tone like?
God, I wouldn't call it a friendly tone.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a friendly tone. I don't know if he was anxious at the time, but it wasn't a friendly tone. And I could sense the frustration in his tone. And then when I told him, like, listen, why are you going on and on about the flag? I no longer have it in my possession. Like, I don't have the flag. You keep talking to me about the flag. Like,
let the flag go, buddy.
Yeah. And at the point, I didn't even know he was the president, to be honest. But yeah. And he was like, he lowered his tone and he started to be more friendly and he was smiling. He was like, yeah, I'm just making sure, just in case you don't, you know, we don't want you to disrupt the ceremony.
My God.
And I get angry at this point, obviously, and I go in and then into the hall, and then a girl accompanies me, she's responsible for the seating, and she guides me to my seat. I sit there, then the security guy from downstairs follows me in, and he's seated at my left, on my left, at the edge of the row. So, and he's seated sideways, so he's looking at me at the same time. And this might seem like it's a bad coincidence, right? Like an unfortunate coincidence, but there are a lot of...
There's a lot of coincidences
that, you know, you get to realize, yeah. No, there are no coincidences here. And I had nobody seated on my left except for him. He was there. And my name was announced, and I go up, and I don't have a flag anymore, obviously. And what I do is I just do the peace sign. I'm like, free Palestine, because I don't have a flag. So this was my alternative. I felt that my voice was the only alternative to actually express who I am, my identity. And I do it. And then what happens is when I go back to my place, I look at my texts and my family are like, why did the camera move away?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And then they send me the footage. So I have the footage with me. And what basically happened is when I went up there, they had two cameras. So when I did my statement, when I went up, walked on stage and I had the kufiya, wearing the kufiya, and I was doing the peace sign, the camera was redirected. So they used the other camera that was basically directed at the person at the podium announcing the names. Everybody else before me had their footage uninterrupted. So it was this one camera. The camera was standing still.
They edited you out of your own graduation.
It wasn't edited out. It was just like they had, yeah, in a sense, it was censored because they moved the camera. And then the UCC representative denied it. And he said, and I don't know, he or she or whatever.
Yeah.
And the person was like, well, it's streamed online, you know, and we don't edit it, so there was no changes made to the footage. But it's still censorship when you move the camera, remove the camera from someone.
Yeah.
And it was just me, you know. So I was frustrated. I got really angry.
Of course.
And I have my Palestinian friend there. She's back now in the West Bank, but she had another flag with her. I told her what happened. And I was like, please raise the flag, texted her. And she was very apprehensive, very understandable, because yeah. She didn't want to risk her life and her return back to the West Bank if they see their pictures, because
yes.
They have to look into her phone and her Instagram and all that. She takes, like, she actually unfurls the flag when she's going back to her row. And then when she carries the flag, they actually ask her to put it down. And she immediately does so. But I think this is an example of how nothing actually happened, because they were saying, we'll have to call people, you will disrupt the ceremony and everything. But actually nothing happened when she did it. So,
can I go back to the president's comments? And by the way, you've explained that so well, I don't have anything to add. I just want to ask a couple of questions. So there's a few things in what the president said for me. So first of all, it's, and you can tell me your opinion on this, that a representative of the Palestinian Authority have assured him that there should be no expressions either way in terms of what's going on in this conflict at the moment. Well, in my limited understanding of the Palestinian Authority, and you can tell people, would they represent Palestinians either in Ireland or around the world?
I can say it very openly and very clearly that they don't represent the Palestinian people. They represent the PA, the Palestinian Authority.
And I would say a highly intelligent man would probably know that.
Yeah, and I'd say probably he used the visit as an advantage for him to just basically allow that sense of politics of neutrality happen on campus.
Yeah. Another thing I was going to say to you is, like, I remember, and I can be open to correction on this, expressions of solidarity from UCC at the invasion of Ukraine, having events here. I think there was scholarship programs. There was statements made. So UCC have not in the past been neutral when it comes to the invasion of Ukraine on Russia's part. So is there a hypocrisy here, do you think? And is it something that you're familiar with?
The double standard, I'm very familiar with that everywhere in the world. But I was surprised, obviously, because I was just like, well, Ireland would support Palestinians. So I didn't think even twice about getting a flag and then having to raise it. I think Ireland is just, UCC actually is one of the 10 Irish third level educational institutions that actually have current projects with Israeli institutions and private companies and departments and so on. So I assume there's this kind of international ties with Israel, with research projects and everything. So obviously they would be neutral about the Palestinian situation and only the Palestinian situation, unfortunately. But with the Ukrainian situation, there's definitely this double standard, because I received, after, like, people were looking, because I posted about what happened on social media and I got really huge support from people, which I'm really grateful for. And then this was one person was texting me and was telling me his sister graduated 2 years ago, and it was during COVID, and he could remember clearly that the president at the ceremony gave a speech about how we need to stand at the morally right side of history when it comes to Ukraine. And would that happen to the Palestinian situation? I don't think so.
But people can make up their own minds on that. So they're the facts of the matter. The last thing I want to just touch on is the idea that he said to you, which I find actually the most shocking of the lot personally, is that you need to be mindful of Jewish people in the audience when you raise a Palestinian flag. Now, I am lucky enough at the moment on Instagram to be talking to a wide range of people, and I genuinely am in touch with more Jewish pro-Palestinian activists than non-Jewish.
Yeah.
So it's an extraordinary claim for someone to make that you expressing your national identity may be offensive to somebody from a particular faith.
Yeah.
What would you say to that? I mean, is that swallowing propaganda or propagating propaganda?
Gosh, it's completely all propaganda in any case. But I feel that, my instant reply was basically, they can represent whatever they want, like religiously. If you want to represent your Jewish identity, go on. I don't have any problem. I have Jewish friends, you know, and very supportive of the Palestinian cause. But I think it's just, I think it's just people assume that it's always like what we're trying to propagate kind of like hatred and excluding people. But that's not the case. And I feel like that's also with the slogan, like, from Palestine, from the river to the sea. But it's not the case. Again, it's just more like it's a social justice. It's political. It's just basically a matter of justice to have to express that there are people that were in their lands in 1948 and before that. So if someone, like, for me, I'm from Acre, right? It was from the river to the sea. It is from the river to the sea, you know, like where am I supposed to say I'm from, you know? I think it's just that sense of just using it as an excuse And they don't want to explicitly say they're with Palestine because they don't want to sabotage their own ties with international Israeli institutions.
Yes. So would it be fair to say it's solidarity without substance? It's solidarity officially. Yeah, we support Palestine, but if it affects our corporate business interests, then unfortunately we don't. There are limits.
Yeah, 100%. But they didn't even issue a statement saying, you know, we are endorsing a ceasefire. And there's a lot of pressure from students at the moment and people in departments to actually kind of pressure the university to release that kind of statement. And even though I support it, I think it's not just enough. I think simultaneously we need to have the BDS implemented on campus, but also have a comprehensive review of all the university's ties with Israeli institutions. I think that's very important, and that people collectivize on these bases altogether. Don't, they're all seen as part of how we can actually not challenge, it's just basically getting our like rights as Palestinians on campus, but yes. Also it's just a matter of justice in general.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just going to ask you one more thing that I just wanted to say, like as a graduate of UCC, and I had some of the happiest experiences of my life here, like wonderful place to be. It actually makes me so sad as well as angry that you had that experience here, I have to say. And I'm of course not speaking for UCC. I don't speak for anyone. No one would let me speak for them, but it really saddens me. Mm-hmm. And that's an awful legacy for UCC to have, I think. And it's a wrong that needs to be righted. Where does the future hold for you? Like the sense I'm getting from you, which I get from every Palestinian I've spoken to in the last few months, is the selflessness that you think of a kind of Palestine, the community of Palestine as a collective rather than you and your own ambitions. But where would you like to be? What would you like to do? And what's the future of your country in an ideal world?
I think it's hard for me to look, to try to understand what the future hides.
Beyond the genocide.
Yes. In general, and my own future. I have my dreams, I have my plans, but it's always about the community for me and the Palestinian community. And I know after that incident, the Palestine Cork Solidarity Campaign wanted to recreate this moment to me. And they had this big plan of recreating the entire graduation at the protest on Saturday. And they approached me and I kind of killed the hype because they were like, Lean, we need to recreate it. You're going to go with a gown and a cap on stage. You're going to get your certificate. And it's going to be, about you. And I'm just like, no, listen, it's not about me.
So interesting, yeah.
It's not about me. It's literally about my community. There's an educational genocide out there. So a better idea would be, at first I was like, no, we're not going to do it. And then I was like, okay, listen, if you want me to do it, let it be about the collective, about the community, the people of yes. Palestine. So what we did instead is they had to print out certificates with the name of all 12 Gaza universities that were completely demolished.
Oh, wow, great idea.
And they were giving it out to people as a certificate of graduation. And then the last certificate was basically just like more futuristic kind of university that doesn't exist. And it was like more based on justice and liberation. And then I go on stage and I explain what happened. Actually, they explain what happened. I'm just talking about my own experience and what it means to me to raise the flag at the graduation. And it was recreated beautifully. I appreciate it. But yet again, it wasn't really about me.
Yeah. See, like we mean well here in the West, but we're all obsessed with ourselves. You know, it's like we're trying to get you to have your day so that you have your victory. That's a very Western mentality. That's why we all have mental health problems, because we're all obsessed with ourselves.
Yeah,
but like, we don't get, Palestinians are so refreshingly about the community, you know, so I think we're learning from you. Not you personally.
I know. I agree with you. I think the Western culture is more based on, like, I think life now is just also more fast paced in general, and people are just so into their lives. But the Palestinian community has always been about the sense of community under conflict, under war, until socioeconomic like risks and all that. So it's, for us, it's essential way of survival. This is how we build on our resistance, basically, that cultural resistance, the political resistance and all that. I've lived with refugee communities, so I know what it means to be integrated within a community. And I understand where my people are coming from, the different experiences they face, whether they're in different parts of the world, you know. Yeah, it's just about that, I think. It's really hard to explain. You just have it. When you're a Palestinian, it's just within you. There's this fire. It's always about your people. And I don't like when I think about people in Gaza right now and the ethnic cleansing that's happening. I think for me, what is heartbreaking and really frustrating is I have this one fear, basically. What if, you know, they have to, they're going to be displaced, like my grandparents were displaced, like I am.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll be stateless somewhere else. Maybe there's some, you know, they, you know, just like wiping out our history, our land, and everything that's basically related to the Palestinian identity. So, yeah.
Okay, I think you need to reserve your energy. I've probably chatted to you for long enough. Thank you so much, and I hope this experience hasn't turned you off making Cork or Ireland a temporary home. Has it?
No, I think I got enough support, and just having this platform, I think that's really great, and you've done really great work for Palestinian people, and thank you for listening to me. I know I have so much things to say, but you're a really good listener.
Well, if you want to do a part two, like, bring it on. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I have nothing to add. This is really my experience and who I am and my people, and I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, you're not looking for any individual praise, but from a Western perspective, you're an extraordinary advocate for your people. So thank you.
Thank you, Tig. I try to be. I try my best, but you are as well. And I understand this shared colonial past and history that we have. And it's great to see that sense of solidarity every single day in my life here in Ireland.
Thank you.